Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people. The middle wall of separation has come down. Praise God, it's not an ecumenical thing where Jews and Christians are getting together. No, it's what Paul said. The reason Jesus came was to break down the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile to form one new man. And I don't even understand completely what I'm saying, but God has had me speaking on this for the last decade. It's got to do now with the latest science. It's got to do with almost a spiritual DNA. The spiritual DNA inside the Jew has certain gifting. The spiritual DNA inside the Gentile Christian has certain gifting. And when these two giftings come together, Paul said the reason Jesus came was to break down the separation so these two giftings could come together to form something that never existed previously. And Paul calls it one new man. And that's another name for Yeshua or Jesus. Now, my guest, Steve Hill, yields himself as much as he possibly can to the Spirit of the living God and sees the same results happen when he speaks as we read in the New Testament. That is normal. And he is on a campaign to make Christians normal. I'm featuring his latest book, Operating in the Miraculous, and he has, you can see God's hand on his life and on his family's life of how step by step he taught them under, in one of the greatest revivals of this generation in Argentina, miracles. Like, is it true, Steve, you were telling me that one of the people that you were working with or observing was Carlos Anaconda? Is it true that people would be outside this gigantic tent, even coming in and start manifesting demons because the anointing of God was so strong?
Oh, absolutely, Sid. We call that the demon tent, and for lack of a better term, you know, because it was people would be so delivered by the power of God, and you know, in Argentina and also here in the U.S., there's a lot of cultic activity, there's a lot of witchcraft, and people would be mightily delivered when they're confronted by the power of the gospel, when they're confronted by Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. You know, you can say Baptist, you can say Methodist, you can say Assembly of God, you can shout out Sid Roth or Steve Hill and nothing happens. But when you call out the name Jesus, I want to tell you, all hell itself trembles.
Now, in Pensacola, Florida, at the Brownsville Revival, with so many people just coming from all over the world, and you were the lightning rod that God used on Father's Day 1995, almost 500,000 people made professions of faith and so many miracles and deliverances. Did you have witches actually come in and try and stop this move of God?
Many times. And there was one particular time that a host of them came over from New Orleans, because we're only 3 hours from the New Orleans. And this group came over and sat in the back row, and they had their little rattles, and they sat there and they were chanting in the back row. And, you know, I welcomed them, okay? I stood in, I told everybody, welcome everyone to the revival. And I said, if you've come here and maybe you're a witch or a warlock and you've come to chant against us, we welcome you and we don't mind you chanting. Just keep your chanting down low as not to disturb the people around you. And
my goodness, Steve, you got chutzpah. That's a Hebrew word. It means nerve. Okay, go ahead.
Hey, then I said this. I said, but let me remind you that you're wasting your time, because the power of Jesus Christ that's in this room is more powerful than anyone you're chanting to. So in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray, we bind you. And I mean, we've seen so many witches delivered. We've seen so many people set free. And you know, you're bringing up a subject right here that is a real pet peeve of mine, and that's how Christians are afraid. For some reason, they're afraid of the occult. They're afraid of witches and warlocks. And, you know, they see some kid at the mall all dressed up in black and wearing a pentagram, and they're afraid. My friend, we're covered in the blood. We have total authority over every other power that's out there. You walk right up to the people. You can have a conversation with them. Say the name Jesus and watch what happens.
Steve, You're like the Bible speaks about. You're a dead man that was given your life back. You should have died from drug overdose and crime and a whole slew of things before you got saved. Then after you were saved, you picked up an incurable disease, hepatitis. When you found out you had that disease, it's a death sentence. What did you do?
Well, it is a death sentence, and it was killing a lot of my friends, and it's still it's killing a lot of people today. Well, I wasn't happy when I heard about it. You know, the doctor said it's incurable. He said there's one medication you can take, and there's only a 5% cure, and it's got really bad side effects. So I decided, well, you know, God's going to have to heal me. It's funny. I went home and told my wife. I told her, I said, I'm going to die. And, of course, I look forward to death. Okay, when death comes, I get to go to be with Jesus. So I have no fear of death. I want to live long, don't get me wrong, but I have no fear of death. And she said, you're not going anywhere. She said, you're not leaving me here with all the kids. And so she just, she was straight, man. So that night, I went to the revival, and Suzette Hadding, who had worked with Reinhard Bonnke for years, she was visiting, and she had a word from the Lord that I had an incurable disease.
Did she have any way of knowing this in the natural?
No, no one knew. No one knew outside of my wife and my doctor, because I'd just been diagnosed. And then she prayed a prayer. She said, God's going to heal you. I instantly, right after the prayer, the next day went back to the doctor, had more blood work, couldn't find it, got more blood work, couldn't find it. And, you know, Sid, all that we're talking about is the Bible says in Mark 16:17 that these signs will follow those who believe. You know, verse 18 says they'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. If you're a believer, these things should be happening.
Okay. You've had so much experience in the Argentinian revival in Brownsville and Pensacola, Florida. I mean, from two different major revivals, you've had this experience. You've written what you've learned. But most people would say, yes, Steve, but we know the anointing you walk under. I mean, I've seen you at Brownsville. I've seen you on television. I've seen people just fall over when you walk by them. That's not me. So this isn't going to work for me. What would you say to them?
Well, take your pick. What do you want? Okay. I want the power of God. And you. This is not, God is no respecter of persons. If you're living holy, you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and strength, He wants to use you, sister. Sir, He wants to use you, but you've got to choose to be chosen. And you say, okay, Lord, use me. And then, you know, one of the reasons I want to encourage people to get this little manual to me is all it is operating in the miraculous. Because I tell people what the steps to take, I try to make it easy to understand that it's not you. You're not, Steve Hill is nobody. I'm a drug addict saved by grace. But as I follow the biblical patterns for miracles, then they're going to happen. See, it's not up to me. It's up to God. He's the one that's on the spot, not Steve Hill, because he says he will heal. So we need to know what to do and how to do it and watch what God does.
Now, what would you say to a mother listening right now whose kids are on drugs, one raised as Christians, and they're out there selling their bodies, they're alcoholics, and, you know, it's very few of these people get healed through science.
What I would say is never stop knocking, never stop asking, never stop praying. And one of the things that moms and dads forget about is that we live in this our own little world, but we forget that there's angels. This is a spiritual warfare, and if your son or daughter has left home, or your son or daughter is in another area, or a family member that's sick, or lost, or on drugs, remember, God has got warring angels. He has got men and women that are outside of your world. My mom did not lead me to Jesus. Another man led me to Jesus, but my mom was the one praying. And so believe God for the miraculous. Step outside of your little world and say, God, whatever it takes, touch my loved one.
Steve, I've got to ask you this question. When you were, through a word of knowledge, you were prayed for, you were healed of an incurable disease, hepatitis, did you go back to the doctor that gave you the death sentence, and what did he say?
Well, I had to, yeah, because, you know, I want to see the paper. And on top of that, I was trying to get some life insurance, you know. So I need, and you know, they're not going to give anybody life insurance that's about to croak. And so I went back and had the blood test and all clear, and went back again, had it clear, and then in several months, I mean, I've had blood tests for the last several years, and there's just no, matter of fact, I had one 2 days ago, no sign of it. And so Jesus heals. Oh, Jesus. Right now, in Jesus' name, for those that are listening that need a fresh touch from God, in Jesus' name, I speak healing on your body. I speak healing on that neck. I speak healing, that arthritis, that arthritic hand. In Jesus' name, be healed. That heart, be healed in Jesus' name.
I'll tell you what's interesting, Mishpucha. How about a second witness? As Steve was calling these words out, he was calling them as I was hearing them also. I know that you're healed. Just proceed by moving your body. You'll see. You'll see. That anointing, a healing. What if someone moves their body and the pain is still there? What would you tell them to do?
First of all, say the name Jesus. Oh, that whatever you do, don't stop saying the name Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm healed. Jesus, I'm healed. Jesus, I'm healed. And keep trying to move. You know, don't do anything ridiculous. You know, if you're in a wheelchair, don't wheel up to a stairwell and throw yourself down. But start moving around, doing things you have. Be stubborn. Oh, please be stubborn about this. Go after God with all your heart, soul, and strength.
You know, I'm reminded of someone that had hepatitis and had a death sentence, and as a young man, and as young children, and a wife, and a family, and everything to live for, and his ministry is prospering. But as far as you're concerned, you got so desperate. That's how desperate it were to be normally, whether we have a death sentence or not. That's the normal way to fight. Be a fighter. Don't be a quitter. And some of you need a real shot in the arm, an understanding of the lessons that Steve has learned over the years in Miraculous. His book, Operating in the Miraculous, is available for donation of $18. Call or write today and order the book, Operating in the Miraculous, and be part of the greatest move of God's Spirit in history. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.